You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
And welcome to the Stardom Cast Extra right here on patreon.com/ The Stardom Cast. I am your host, Rob Gooden. I am joined as ever by Matt Turner. Matt, insane April is drawing to a close. How are you and how are you feeling?
Fantastic. I am super excited for our topic today. You might even say, Rob, I'm insanely excited for this topic. Now, some of these matches were hard. Hold on. I'm not done yet. Hold on. Some of these matches were very hard to find, and some of our listeners might be wondering how we found them. So what we did is, Rob and I, we sailed the high seas, and we found all these matches, all 10 of these matches, and we're going to give them to you. We're going to give them to you like a spinning back fist right to the face. And Rob Goodwin, my good friend, speaking of spinning back fists to the face, speaking of wandering, speaking of sailing the high seas, this episode, if you haven't noticed already, we will be covering the legendary 364-day Wonder of Stardom title run from the great Kari Sane, Kari Hojo, Kari, whatever you want to call her. Just super excited for this episode. And I did say 364-day reign. Rob, I dare you to ask me how I know it was 364 days.
Please enlighten me.
Well, if you go to page 12 of the book, Living the Dream, Stardom's 10th Anniversary in Review by my good friend Rob Goodwin, you will find it right there, sir. So there you go. So I got the heat plug in, and I got the I got three or four really fancy, you know, ham fisted segues in. So I think I'm all good, buddy. This is all you.
I mean. Honestly, I mean, you have to tell me, did you write that down or was that all off the top of your head?
No, this is what happened. And I like giving people the inside information. I'll tell you and the listeners at the same time as well. So Rob texted me yesterday morning, very early in the morning when we were going to record this week. And you might be wondering, Matt, how early did he text you? Well, for my time on the East Coast, it was 20 to 6 a.m., 5:40 a.m. he texted me. But no worries, as I was in the gym, I was on the treadmill, just finishing my cardio. So I'm kind of like, when I go, I'm so busy. I got 1,000 things going on, and I'm a very, you know, people person. But when I go to the gym, not unless somebody asks me a question, I'm kind of locked into my own thing. So I had the headphones on, the music going, the pre-workout was hitting the system. And when I was probably in my most creative mode when you texted me that we were going to be doing this is when I want to record this episode. And probably within about 10 minutes, I had I didn't write it down. I kind of all had in my head. I'm like, yeah, I'll just transition from this to this, this to this, this to this. And then I'm like, how am I going to get Rob's cheap book plug-in. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, I got to figure out how many days this is anyway. Let me find out. I'm like, oh, it's literally right here on page 12 of his book, 364 days. Boom. So I figured all within the first 90 to 100 seconds, I'd get it all in, my man. And I think I did rather well there.
It might be my favorite introduction to the Stardom cast ever, man. I'm extremely impressed that you managed to cram as much as you did in. And of course, the rudimentary plug as well, which is always appreciated. Yeah, like Matt said, we are here talking about Kairi Hojo's white belt reign. The third longest in the Wonder of Stardom belt history, obviously behind Yuzuki Aikawa at 618 days and Arisa Hoshiki in 370 days. So a really, really quite prestigious reign, even if it's a bit weird, Matt.
Yeah, when I was kind of looking on Cage Match just to kind of get the dates down and everything and try to see, you know, where I need to find these matches and whatnot, I was kind of looking at it. I was like, okay, you know, I understand the Viper and the Jungle Kiona and, you know, obviously the Mayu match and Chelsea are the Santana Garrett matches. Santana Garrett was actually, you know, a very underrated champion in Stardom. I thought she did very well, but then there was just some odd stuff there. And, but I thought, you know, me and you were talking the other day, I thought she did a really good job of making it work. And obviously we'll dive into it. But I thought like a lot of this stuff was really, really interesting just about how she was able to kind of get the most out of her opponents. Not every match was, you know, when we did the EO run and the Momo run where a lot of those matches, you know, they were 4.5 to like 5-star matches. Not every match was like that. But you have to kind of, and I think this is kind of the brilliance of, you know, Kairi Hojo here, is she gets not only the most out of it, out of her matches, but she is 100% babyface in these matches. And all these matches, they're either semi-main events or main events. And she does a really good job of sending the crowd home happy. And I kind of just want to touch on just, you know, one thing before we dive into it, because I noticed halfway through this run, and, you know, hopefully what I'm about to say, it made me appreciate the run more. And then, you know, as our listeners are, you know, following along, maybe it'll add on to their enjoyment of the run. But like when it comes to Kairi, especially in this run, I've seen a ton of her matches in WWE, NXT, the red belt matches, and a few of the white belt matches, you know, here. But just watching it in the context, I watched it. Like, she really takes this. Like, when you're putting together matches like this, it's an interesting dynamic. Because, one, you put in the dynamic where Kairi is 100%, you know, babyface in every single one of these matches. You throw in the dynamic that it's a title match. It's, you know, for the white belt, the Wonder Stardom belt. So there's, you know, a second dynamic. And then the other dynamic is most of these matches are co-main event or main event. So you throw those three dynamics in. And where Kairi does a better job of anybody I've seen in the Stardom roster, past, present, or future, or really anybody in wrestling in the last handful of years, is her crowd psychology. And what I mean by crowd psychology, it's a little bit different than normal wrestling in psychology, is she knows when to fire up. She knows when to go to the go-home stretch. You can see there's points in the match where she starts to fire up a little, and you think, okay, this is where she's going to do her comeback. And then you kind of tell, it's like, no, I'm going to simmer it down because I don't have the crowd right where I want them. There's even points where, like, she's going for the insane elbow, and you kind of see her talking to her opponents. Now, I don't speak Japanese, so I don't know what she's saying, but I can kind of get the gist of it, of where it's like, I think she's telling them to move or put the feet up because she doesn't think she has the crowd right where they want them. And so maybe they'll move, or someone will put the feet up, they'll do another, you know, maybe 90 seconds to 2 minute stretch. And then she has the crowd right where she wants, and then she'll hit the double stomp or the Alabama slam into the insane elbow, and she gets the crowd, you know, when there's a three count or a submission or, you know, the count out victory we saw from the first title defense, she has the crowd right where she wants them. And it's really an old school promoter's thing where you send the crowd home happy. And again, when these matches are in the main event, they're sending the crowd home happy because they want to see Kairi win. They want to see her fight from behind. And regardless of anything else they've seen on the show, because she gets the loudest pop at the exact point, I think it's absolutely brilliant. You know, there's absolutely brilliant. You know, she just sells so well. She fires up so well. Her timing on everything is just absolutely perfect. And it made me appreciate this run, you know, even more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't know a great deal about Kairi's run beforehand. And similar to the Momo retrospective, you know, it's good to see how sort of wrestlers grow. And it's important to note that coming into this run, Kairi Hojo was in a bit of a slump. Like, we talked about it. I can't remember why we talked about Thunder Rock versus Kairi and Mako Satomura on our last Patreon episode. We talked about how, at this point, Kairi is on a huge losing streak at Corican Hall. She's in a massive slump. And she comes out of this run then with just sort of rejuvenated. And she plays lots of different parts. You know, she is most often a babyface. You know, she's sort of going towards a more stern teacher, let's say, in the Konami and the Jungle Kiona matches and even the Hazuki match against the more rookie-ish people that she gets paired with. But I still think that she is, aside from Mayu, one of the best baby faces in Stardom, without a shadow of a doubt.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because, like, to me, it's just like different days is different answers. I think they're like 1 and 1A, and I think maybe Mayu has her slightly beaten, but not by much. Then she's right under there. Then there's like everybody else. But yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, brother.
Yeah. Let's kick straight into this run then. So obviously we don't start with Kairi. We start with the champion prior, the seventh Wonder of Stardom champion in Santana Garrett. And Kairi challenged her for the belt. And that brings us to the start of our retrospective with Kairi Hojo defeating the champion Santana Garrett with an insane elbow in 14 minutes and 31 at Stardom Gold May 2016 on the 15th of May. So a couple of notes just before we head into this match. So this match came into being because of the pair's time limit draw in the quarterfinals of the 2016 Cinderella tournament. But discounting the tournament matches, Kairi's on, as I mentioned before, a three-match losing streak at Corican Hall. So he's even more desperate to win. Not only that, but this is her fourth actual attempt at the white belt, though Kairi does acknowledge that technically it is her sixth after missing a scheduled match due to a concussion and also losing a tournament match for the white belt. She also seems to be under the impression that this is her last chance at the belt, calling it her last voyage, which was interesting. In terms of Santana Garrett, she's held the belt since the 23rd of November 2015, where she beat Io Shirai for the belt. She's 179 days deep into the run and is, at the time of this match, in the lead for most successful title defenses with 9. Which, interestingly enough, though, only one of those matches took place against Stardom. In Stardom, in Japan. The opponent for that one match, Kairi Hojo. So there you go.
Yeah.
Lovely bit of irony. Yeah. Stardom put a lot of stall into Santana Garrett. Now, this is my first sort of exposure to Santana that isn't WWE or AEW. But I know that Stardom were incredibly high on her, just like they were incredibly high on Viper. But in terms of the WWE and AEW, just a few little random stats. They don't seem to be as high on Santana Garrett, because when she was in the WWE, she went 1-for-17. In televised matches, and then in AEW she's currently 0-for-4, so they don't really seem to see her as highly. But in terms of Santana Garrett, Matt, what did you think of this match and her approach to it?
I think even the build-up was really well, similar to the Momo white belt title run, where Momo beats Io. A few months prior, Io beats Momo. So that's what happened. You know, you just made mention that one of the losing matches in Corican Hall was Santana Garrett defeating Kairi. And I did watch that match prior, and it was excellent. And they actually play off a lot. There's a lot of counters that Kairi does. It's almost like, you know, she was studying the tapes and she was learning from it. And I actually think how the match comes about was actually quite comical, as it does involve your all-time favorite Mayu Iwatani. Mayu does win the 2016 Cinderella tournament. She comes out. She actually, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, Robin. I promise it's going to get to the match. But when she wins this, obviously, as you win the Cinderella, it's a funny tidbit about Mayu. Well, when you win the Cinderella tournament, as everybody knows, you come out, you know, right afterwards with your dress. Well, Mayu, she wins the tournament. She comes out. She cuts the curtain. She lifts up her dress to show she still has her wrestling gear on, which I thought anybody else is just like, anybody else, you kind of just roll your eyes because it's Mayu. You know, it's funny. So she comes out. She challenges Io. It's actually on this same show. And actually, Kairi comes out as one of the three daughters, and she kind of basically challenges Santana to a rematch. Santana comes out gets in the ring, and then Kairi grabs like the bouquet of flowers and basically turns around and throws it like you would at a wedding. And Santana just no-sells it, like doesn't pick it up. And it gets a huge pop from the Corican crowd, a huge pop from Mayu. And then she picks up the flowers again and throws it. And then I guess that's how she accepted the rematch. But yeah, this was really, really good. It was solid. A lot of technical wrestling, a lot of chain wrestling. I'm very big on Santana Garrett. I've seen her wrestle like a lot of the independents. And I think she's really, really good, very underrated. Obviously, Stardom throws a lot of stock in her. I mean, you beat Io Shirai for the Wonder of Stardom title. You know, you're getting a pretty lengthy run. You're beating, you know, Kairi Hojo, one of their staples in Corken Hall, and then getting another match with. But this one does play off a lot of their first match. Mm-hmm. Like I said, a lot of counters, a lot of going back and forth. Very good technical wrestling. Not a lot of holes in either of the game. I thought it was really, really done really, really well. Santana Garrett does take a good portion of the match, which is kind of almost a trope you'll see in a lot of these matches where Kairi is on the defense. Again, going back to that crowd psychology, knowing when to pull the trigger on her comeback. And a lot of her comeback comes from those forearms. Just throws them in there, the way she fires up, the way she looks at the crowd, getting the most out of the crowd when she needs to. A couple spinning back fists. She hits the Alabama Slam and the insane elbow for the win. I thought this was solid. It wasn't really overdone. Obviously, they were going to see a long main event coming up, you know, in the next match. So I thought this was perfectly timed. Everything was really well. Santana Garrett did a really good job of, getting Kairi where she needed to get to. And Kairi does a really, really good job, you know, in this story, this little mini story where she has with Santana Garrett. I had this thing at four stars. I thought this was really, really solid and a really good way to start off this run.
Yeah, I think of the Gaijins that Kairi faces in this run, I think Santana Garrett, with the exception of Viper, is probably the strongest. I think they had good chemistry together. There was some really, really good transitions in this match. There was one in particular where there was a transition from a spinning back fist into a jackknife pin, which was really cool. There was loads of little sort of counters. There was Garrett coming off the ropes and being hit in the face with a spinning back fist, which is always fun to watch. But yeah, it was a good, fun match. I'll also say that Santana Garrett probably has one of the better looking handspring back elbows I've ever seen. And her suicide dive is actually decent, which is something we're going to be talking about a little bit more in one of the later matches. A good overall match, a really good start to the title reign. I did feel the finish was a little bit rushed, but that's just personal preference. Kairi starts her post-match promo with the word finally, and I cannot begin to describe how much I desperately just wanted to shout, Kairi has come back to Corican Hall. It was just the pause after finally, it really did tickle me. But she does say that she wants to raise the level of the wide belt above the red belt, which, of course, as we've already talked about, is held by Io Shirai at the time. I gave it 3 3/4. I thought, very good. We don't really see a great deal more of Santana Garrett in Stardom after this, and that's unfortunately a bit of a common thread when we look at the Gaijins in this run. But overall, a solid start, and Kairi gets a little bit of redemption in beating Santana Garrett in the rematch, and also manages to get that Corican Hall monkey off her back. In terms of the next match, though, we head to match two, and it is Viper's turn to go for the white belt, and Kairi Hojo defeats Viper via countout in 16 minutes and 57 seconds at the Stardom X Stardom 2016 show Osaka Summer Solstice Celebration, which is a bloody tongue twister and a half, on the 24th of July 2016. This came about because Viper challenged Kairi for the belt after pinning her in a tag match with Viper and Kyoko Kimura going over Kairi and Hiromi Momura on the 9th of July on night 5 of the Shining Stars Tour. Now, again, I've already mentioned that Viper is held in very, very big regard, very strong regard by Stardom. And obviously she, at this point, has been running through competitors, sort of being portrayed as the monster. We've seen her, I believe, challenge Io Shirai at this point the first time. And you do want to keep her looking strong. That being said, how did we feel about the count-out finish, Matt?
I had no problem with it. It seems like Viper, they build her up. just to put her in there, you know, with the top baby faces. I mean, we've seen her, you know, we reviewed it, I believe it was the first Patreon episode we ever did on the EO V14, and she had two solid matches here. And I thought this was really good. Again, I have no problem with a count out as long as it makes sense. And I think this one made sense. The story here is really, really simple. Viper, the psychology and majority of her matches is really simple. You know, she's the big overpowering heel, and you kind of have the small underdog baby face, you know, that the crowd just loves to get behind. And Kyrie, and, you know, Kyrie just, she starts out by trying to use her speed, you know, kind of get a shine advantage on Viper. Viper, again, uses her strengths, kind of cuts her off, and then she gets a little too cocky. She tries an insane elbow. And then you see Kyrie just slowly mounting her comeback. And, you know, and I think I texted you a couple days ago, might have been a couple weeks ago, as these retrospectives usually take us about 2 weeks to get through. And we just love doing them. We're just so darn busy that, you know, but that when Kyrie makes her comeback, as big as is a size, a disadvantage, and this is the biggest one in this ring, you totally believe it. Because when she starts throwing those sledgehammer chops and those forearms and that look in her face, I think that when I text you, I think the exact words I use is to quote Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, one of our favorite bands. When she starts firing up, brother, run to the hills, run for your life. And let me tell you something, Rob. I'm a guy that's been stretched by Samoa Joe, knocked out by the Necro Butcher, and last summer I had had the honor to spar with UFC champion Valentina Shevchenko. So I know about getting my ass kicked. And let me tell you, I think I might take all three of those over when Kari fires back, because literally it's so darn believable. And she throws that stuff in with force. So, yeah, they eventually, you know, spill out to the crowd. She hits like an insane elbow, almost like a tope, almost like a Mitsuhara Misawa style to the outside onto Viper and the 84 seconds. And then she gets the count out. She gets the count in. And the reason why it works for me is because the crowd bit into it. Like, you know, I obviously saw the result of the match just looking on Cage Match. And I was like, well, let's see how this plays out. And the crowd bit. Like when Kyrie, you know, rolls in at like 17 or 18 or whatever she rolls in, and Viper doesn't get in, the crowd is just like so frantic. And they get the count out. She gets the win. It keeps Viper looking strong. But Kyrie, you know, really gets a lot of her shine on that comeback. And she throws everything into that final blow onto the outside. It's a cool looking visual. And, you know, if you're ever asking, hey, did that finish make sense? Or how do you feel about that finish? How did the crowd react? And the crowd bit into it. So to me, that's an absolute success. I had this at 4.25 stars. I absolutely love this match.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never not going to like a Viper match. And I think her and Viper, Kairi Hojo and Viper, had really, really good chemistry as well. And whilst, you know, we have the dynamic that goes with the sort of big competitor, little competitor matches, we had Viper using her obviously overwhelming power game, and we had Kyrie using a speed game. We had one particular moment where Kyrie goes for a spear and Viper literally just catches her and throws her across the ring, which I thought was very entertaining. But, you know, you've got Viper sort of, whereas against Io Shirai in February, she was sort of, right, I am power and that is it. Here, she actually starts to attack Kyrie's arm. And yes, ultimately it doesn't work, but it shows growth on her, you know, as well. Overall, I thought this was great. The finish, I understand the finish from a booking perspective. And, you know, I said before, Viper held in very, very high regard by Stardom. She is the monster that you want your top baby faces to go over, to put the baby face over even more. And I think it's a job that Viper did extremely well in a really Stardom run. Could they have done it a bit better? Maybe. I mean, straight after the dive, the count starts. And yet, you know, we then look at the Hana Kimura match where they're out of the ring for a good 5 or 10 minutes, it feels like. So maybe I'm looking a bit too much into it. I mean, ultimately, I still gave it 4.5 stars. I loved this match. I loved the chemistry that the two had. And I thought overall, it was a really, really solid match and a really good second defense for Kyrie. But it was just that one thing with the count out. But again, that's probably just me. Let's move on then to match 3. Now, I am just going to quickly shout out our Discord, our fabulous Discord at this point, who as Matt alluded to in his fantastic early rhetoric, we couldn't find a lot of these matches because Stardom World, despite being quite a good resource, is a pain when it comes to anything pre-2017. So a great deal of these matches were far more difficult to find than I would have liked. Viper being one of them, and this next match being one of them. But gotta shout him out, Storm on Discord. You ask him a question, by the time you finish pressing enter, he's there with the match. Not only the match, the entire bloody show. So thank you, Storm. Thank you, Velkage, as well, because he's been great with stuff like this. And there's a lot of people in our Discord who have been fantastic
for
that. Yeah.
Yeah, so good, so good. Thank you. We greatly appreciate all the support and help that you've been giving us.
So we get to one of those aforementioned matches, which is the defeat of the next challenger, Chelsea. Not Chelsea Green. No. We'll get there. With the insane elbow in 16 minutes and 10 seconds on the Stardom Shining Stars Tour, their 99 final race on the 5th of August. Now, Kairi and Chelsea were a tag team briefly prior to this match called Candy Crush. This match would also prove to be Chelsea's last in the company. Chelsea also holds a pinfall victory over Kairi, having beaten her in the 2015 five-star Grand Prix, a match which is a damn sight easier to find than the match here. But find it we did. And Matt, obviously, we were having a little bit of a laugh and a joke on Discord because nobody seemed to even remember who Chelsea was. And then people check cage match. And after this match, which I've already mentioned is her last in Stardom, I think she's wrestled maybe four matches since then, five matches, and then seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth. What did you think of her in this match and as a challenger to Kairi's white belt?
Yeah, again, when I was looking at the match listings, I was like, why is she wrestling Chelsea Green twice? Because one was Chelsea, one was Chelsea Green. And obviously I know who Chelsea Green is. She's a big star over here in the States. And then I was like, oh, okay. I vaguely remember her. But you know what? For somebody who's kind of forgotten in Stardom lore, I thought that she was pretty good. I thought everything was pretty solid. Again, you're wrestling Kairi. She can wrestle a goat, a sheep, a broom, and a dolphin, and all would make sense. But Kairi, and again, you know, we talked kind of, you know, via text message, she does a really good job kind of exposing her opponent's strengths and hiding their weaknesses. And that's what she did here. Like, a good portion of this match at the beginning, just fundamental wrestling, chain wrestling, you know, Kairi using headlocks and Chelsea getting headlock counters. Then you can see Kairi really starting to ramp up her offense with the strikes. I mean, she really gets really aggressive with Chelsea. And Chelsea hits this, like, really brutal spinning back kick, which is probably one of the better moves in her arsenal. Then she puts on, like, a leg submission sleeper, which Kairi sells really, really well. And she does a really good job waiting till she gets the most. Again, that crowd psychology. But looking like, I mean, a lot, there was some people in the crowd, like, from the reaction, that thought this was going to be the finish. And Kairi does a really good job waiting it, milking it, you know, before she gets the ropes and breaks it. But ultimately, Kairi winds up starting to get a little bit of back work and leg work on Chelsea. Locks in a super deep anchor. That thing was like, oh, that hurt my back just looking at it. Then obviously she hits the insane elbow for the win, which, again, you know, she does a really good job at placing that where, you know, where she needs to, like, calling for the finish right where she has the crowd. And I think she had the crowd right at the fever pitch for this finish. So I had this one at 3.25 star, but I actually bumped it up a quarter of a star just based on, you know, how well that she had the crowd into it. So I had this one at 3.5 stars. And I thought this was pretty solid. So it's Kairi just kind of getting the most out of her opponents here.
Yeah, it was a weird one. I mean, I think that Chelsea did well. I'm not going to say that it was an absolutely stellar match. It wasn't. However, I think it was better than I certainly expected it to be. Whereas Viper and Nixon Newell, even if you take her later on in the run, they both adapted well to the Japanese style of wrestling. However, I don't think Chelsea and Chelsea Green adapted as well. I think they were more about showmanship than necessarily in ring. Now, that's not to say that Chelsea's bad in ring. I mean, there was a great moment, the where she hangs Kairi through the ropes and then does a sort of showstopper. That was pretty cool. She did a dive, which I hate it when Kofi Kingston does the trust fall, and it's basically where you just stand on the top rope and fall, which I was like, sure, okay. And I think I text you with this, Matt. I think we might have found a worse elbow drop than Mei Sakurai.
Yeah, and I think my exact response was, how dare you talk about Kari about that? We got it, you know. I know what he was talking about. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we got to go frame by frame. That'll be a double super Patreon, you know, exclusive. I don't know. I don't know if we want to put ourselves through that. But yeah. Go ahead.
I think as the match continued, Chelsea grew into it. And I think the sort of friends aspect of it worked as well, because Kyrie was getting more aggressive, Chelsea was getting more aggressive. You know, you've talked about this before. It's far easier to wrestle your friends because you know you can hit them harder and then just buy them a beer afterwards. And I think there was moments here, there was a moment where Chelsea really smoothly locked in a code of silence, like a figure four neck lock, which looked really, really, really cool. And that anchor, aside from the one that she submits Konami with later on in the run, I desperately wanted this to be the finish, because she had cinched it in so, and it looked so much better because, and this is going to sound really stupid, because Chelsea felt like she was 90% legs, that anchor looked so cool. I was like, go on, just tap. It's worth it. I'll give it an extra half star if you tap. But, you know, I'm never gonna be disappointed when you see another insane elbow. But I thought Chelsea did okay. I gave it 3.25 stars as well. But I think, I'll repeat what I said before, I think both her and Chelsea Green suffered a little bit from being more bothered about the sort of showmanship aspect. You know, the sort of dancing and flicking the hair and being bothered about their pose and things like that, as opposed to just, you know, getting on with the match. And whereas Chelsea in this match sort of moved past that as the match continued, that's something that I don't think Chelsea Green did when we get into that match. But yeah, 3.25 stars, Matt. I'm in agreement with you there. Now, just to confuse everyone, not only have we had Chelsea in match 3 and then Chelsea Green in match 4, but they also look a little bit alike and are about the same height and wrestle almost identically. So thank you for that, Stardom. Match 4 obviously saw Kairi defeat Chelsea Green with the insane elbow in 14 minutes and 18 seconds at the Stardom October Showdown on the 30th of October 2016. Now, Matt, I was not expecting Chelsea Green to burst through the curtain in full Harley Quinn regalia, but I don't know if you saw it, but when they did the sort of title ceremony with Rossi Ogawa, you know, Rossi gives her a look as though to say, well, that's an interesting get-up. It's such a disapproving look that Rossi gives her. It was like, if he were her dad, he'd be telling her to get back upstairs and put some more clothes on. It was hilarious. Did you see this look?
Yeah, it was just like, it was kind of like, wait, I didn't approve this. It was kind of like, hey, you know, hey, this is a big, big match here. You know, well, oh, my outfit's going to be this. Okay, great, no problem. And then she's just like, ha, 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 ha. It's like, you know, like when your daughter, I hope this doesn't happen as I'm talking about this. My teenage daughter is going to be like, yeah, dad, I'm going out with some friends. I'm like, okay, no problem. And, you know, she's got her, you know, a Spider-Man shirt on or whatever. And then, you know, then she goes and changes into something else. And it's like, I think that's what it was. Like what the part of my leg was, what the shit is this? Was Rossi Ogawa's look. And I just thought that, yeah, that was hilarious. Almost as good as Flirty Hazuki, but we haven't seen Flirty Hazuki in a while, so I guess we'll take this.
It really did tickle me. He looked so disapproving. What did you think? Let's start with you. You are the positive one. What did you think of Chelsea Green's effort here? Not her effort, let me just clarify. I don't mean her effort as in in-ring effort. I'm never going to criticize anyone's in-ring effort, but what do you think about her match here is what I meant.
I really enjoyed it. You kind of have to know what you're getting. Kind of Chelsea and Chelsea Green, they're both really good American-style wrestlers. And what I mean by that is the showman. And obviously that Chelsea Green, she's making a huge living, you know, over here in the States, you know, doing what she's doing. Obviously, she was on NXT. She was on Impact for a while. The stuff she's doing with, you know, her boyfriend, Matt Cardona, right now is really, really good stuff. That the hot mess stuff she did on Impact, really good, really entertaining stuff. But she kind of, for what I've seen her, and she's super entertaining, and she's a great follow on Twitter. She's a very, very positive person on Twitter, which obviously always gets 2 thumbs up from me. But she kind of stepped this up like a little bit. Like, she stepped this up a different gear. Again, she still did the showman stuff, obviously, with the Harley Quinn regalia. But she really stepped up her game here, I thought, to kind of meet Kairi as well as she can. As far as in-ring goes. And again, that's not a diss on Chelsea Green. There's not many wrestlers in the world that can kind of get on that level. But again, Kairi does a really good job of picking people up and then making them have like a really, again, not like making sound like forcing, but having them basically have like the best in-ring match they're going to have. And I thought the psychology of this was really smart. Chelsea Green goes right after the right arm. Kairi, which is obviously where she throws her forearms, her spinning back fist, the insane elbow, and then the heat of the match. And me and you were texting back and forth about this match because I'm assuming I enjoyed this match more than you did. The heat of the match was really smart because they basically just take, you know, Chelsea, what she's not really good at, you know, the technical stuff in the ring, and just basically almost spills out into like almost like an American style match where they're in the crowd. You know, when you think of really fantastic gaijin wrestlers, American wrestlers coming over to Japan, you know, two of the first names that come up are Bruiser Brody and Stan Hansen, and they made a living going out and beating up their opponents into the crowd. Now obviously it wasn't this severe, but like you get the point, like it's kind of like on the same dynamic, the same psychology, where I'm just going to take Kairi on the outside and I'm just going to beat her up for 3 or 4 minutes on the outside. And you know, you can kind of feel the crowd just starting to come up. And again, you know, I'm going to beat this to death, and I apologize. It's the crowd psychology, like Kairi just knowing when to come back. You see her firing up a little, and then you see Kairi take it, or see Chelsea, you know, taking her back down. She fires up a little more, and then she goes right back after the arm. And one of the real high points for this in my match was I was sitting on my one couch watching this match, and my young cat was he was asleep on the other couch. And Kairi, when she does her comeback, and she hits that spinning back fist, it was so loud, it legit woke up my cat. So I was like, oh. So I was like, oh, geez, how about that? So then I rewound it, and then he put his eyes, and I paused it, and I waited. He put his eyes down, and then I hit it again, and he woke up again. Just made this thud. And Chelsea Green just, I guess, she's kind of notorious for taking these, you know, really hard, stiff shots and starting, because I believe it was you told me on this exact podcast that the Freedom Dropkick, the one where Mayu, it went like viral a couple of years ago, that was done on Chelsea Green as well. Am I correct?
It was indeed, yeah. The one you've all seen on Twitter.
Yeah. So you've got to give her credit on feeding, because there is sometimes, and I've had it happen in my matches before, where people, you go to throw a strike and they'll get afraid the last second. They'll kind of, you know, dwell away, or they won't feed properly. So you got to give her credit, man. She's feeding for these hard shots. So, you know, God bless her. So I thought that was pretty entertaining in my house, and it woke up my cat. You know, double stomp and insane elbow for the finish. I really enjoyed it because the psychology was simple. You know, it made sense. Chelsea Green did what she needed to do to, you know, get over with this crowd. And again, you throw in Kairi's psychology and her comeback and her firing and her spinning back fist that's waking up felines in my house. I thought this was thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable. I know I'm not getting a Mayu versus Kairi match, or I'm getting, you know, the Mako Satomaro versus Kairi matches. But this, for what I thought I was going to get, was way better. It exceeded all my expectations. It's the best Chelsea Green match I've ever seen. And I actually had this one at 3 3/4 stars. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this.
Wow. Okay. Completely understand everything you say. I didn't enjoy this match at all. I don't know what it was. I couldn't get into it. Now I know there's a huge size disparity, obviously, between Chelsea Green and Kairi Hojo. And there was one particular hilarious moment where Kairi tries to lock in some sort of octopus hold, and Chelsea is literally too tall for her to do it. I don't think they had any chemistry. I think they had all the pieces, but just for me anyway, didn't quite put them into place. Like the stuff with slamming Kairi's arm into the signs on the outside of Coracanol. So dragged her out, so I beat her up on the outside. That's great. But then she didn't capitalize on it. So she's beating the arm on the on like the entranceway, and then turns to the audience and starts dancing, and you lose all the heat. And then she goes into the ring and doesn't do anything with the arm for 5 minutes, having just worked it on the outside, then goes back to it a little bit and then doesn't work it again. And then obviously Kairi wins with the sliding D and the insane elbow anyway. So it didn't really affect anything. There'd be better people, significantly better people, at working the arm later on in the show. And I also think Viper did a better job of working the arm. But I just felt that Chelsea Green had an awkwardness in this match that Chelsea didn't. And I know that obviously Viper has wrestled a lot in Stardom. There was just something about it. I couldn't get past it. And she has charisma. She certainly has charisma. The stuff as Laurel Van Ness, the hot mess in TNA, great. But I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan at all. And, you know, there was one moment, I don't know what happened, Matt, but early on they were on the apron and we zoomed in offensively close to Chelsea Green's bum. And then she aims a kick at Kyrie. Now, I am assuming that Kyrie was supposed to move and then sort of trip Chelsea Green up on the apron. Because that's what happened, but not before. I think as she's moved, Chelsea Green's foot has connected with her cheek. And good grief, the swelling on that. Like, you could tell throughout the match that it was really giving Kyrie some real pain. Especially later on in the match, and obviously during the post-match, you can tell because her eyes swelling up really quite badly. But that does lead to Kyrie giving a somewhat of a receipt with possibly the hardest spinning back fist we saw in this entire run. The echo, it was like a gunshot, Matt.
Yeah, I told you, woke up my cat.
I gave it 3 stars. Again, I'm taking sort of a similar line to you. If the effort is there, then I'm not going to be as disparaging as giving them less than 3 stars. It was the one match in this entire run that I felt like it was a universe mode randomizer, and it just felt like there wasn't a great deal of chemistry there, and the match suffered a little bit for it.
Well, you know, this is interesting because usually me and you agree on, you know, since we've been doing this podcast a handful of months, so this is kind of the one we kind of disagree on the most. So that's, it's kind of, I totally see your points of view, and obviously I respect that. And, you know, I know you see my points of view. So it's nice that, I mean, you can kind of, you know, for once, like not totally agree on something.
Agreed. Ironically. So match 5, and this will be something we definitely do agree on. The first Japanese wrestler actually to appear in this run, bizarrely, we're on match 5. But Kairi Hojo defeats Hazuki with the insane elbow in 17 minutes and 40 seconds. Stardom Goddess of Stars, night 5 from the 9th of December 2016. First singles match in a long time for Hazuki, a year to be exact, after she took almost a year off returning from her hiatus from the ring as a member of Queen's Quest. So she's a freshly minted member of Queen's Quest when she returns here. And Matt, everything I didn't quite like that didn't quite click in the Chelsea Green match, we had no such issues here. This was fantastic.
First thing we got to talk about is baby Hazuki. Obviously, review Hazuki. You know, we're reviewing a lot of Hazuki because, you know, she's just absolutely crushing it in Stardom. And as we record this, she's 2 wins away of possibly winning the Cinderella tournament. But it's like, you know, I've seen a lot of this stuff before, just going through, you know, watching some stuff from 16 and 17 from her stuff, you know, tagging and going up against Io. But it's just like, holy Jesus, look at baby Suzuki. Like, she looks like a miniature version of what we're seeing now in 2022. Am I right, my friend?
Absolutely. In the opening promo, it was like I was looking at someone completely different. Like, I know people change as they get older, but that it's almost like a completely different person.
Yeah, but you can see though the potential, you know, into what she's becoming now, what she's going to become in the future. But I thought this was, you know, we talked about it before. It's like how Kari's kind of like, you know, the senior to Hazuki, and Hazuki does a really good job, and she kind of does some like old school Memphis stalling. Like, this one took like a while to get to, and you can see like she just kind of sits in the ring cross, like kind of like CM Punk, kind of like Katori Shibata. Where Kari starts getting like, she starts getting annoyed with her. So it's like, oh, you know what's going to eventually come. And she kind of just rushes in, and Hazuki catches her in a quick cradle. And I thought that psychology, that was really good, and kind of just caught everybody off guard. And they kind of did a really good job of, you know, the crowd was kind of quiet just because there was nothing happening. And then you get a near fall as your first move. And the crowd's like, oh, wait, okay, now we're going. Now we're ready to go. So, you know, there's a couple quick few pins there. And then Kari starts slowing it down using her experience and using the headlock, using some chain wrestling. I thought that was really good. And did you notice that was when Hazuki was kind of doing a little bit of cheating, not much, kind of like keeping her in the ropes a little bit longer, that Io Shirai was doing some referee distraction. Did you notice that?
I did indeed.
I was like, how dare you? But I thought that was really good. Kari, she winds up, you know, countering with a really big dive. She hits a beautiful spinning back fist for a near fall. This was really, really good. Hazuki fires back with some strikes, some really good strike exchanges. Eventually she hits the Alabama slam or the concrete crash or whatever you want to call it. and the insane elbow for the win. Very well timed. Again, everything was very well placed. There was no wasted motion in here. Everything made sense. This was a really good. I can imagine, like, if you were watching this live or watching it, like, you know, as soon as you can, you kind of just see it, like, oh, this Suzuki, she's going to be something really, really good. And Kari did a really good job giving her, you know, enough to kind of get her to kind of to the next level. But I thought this was really good. I had this one at 3 3/4 stars.
Okay, I liked it a lot more than you. two matches in a row. So what I liked, I'm not going to go through the match beat by beat because you've already done a stellar job of it. One thing I loved about this match is that Hazuki has just come back from a year's break. She is effectively still a rookie, and in fact, I believe that Kairi refers to her as a super rookie. Now, you can tell from as early as those pre-match promos that Kairi does not rate Hazuki's chances here. She even mentions the fact that she hopes the rookie is going to be up to the task of main eventing Osaka. And then on top of that, she takes her sweet time getting to the ring, really, really properly milking it by high-fiving nearly everyone in the arena. Like, she properly takes her time. And you do get the impression that there is a certain level of... what's the word I'm looking for? She's underestimating Hazuki's ability. And it's the first time, and this is probably the only real time, where you could say that Kairi acts not necessarily heelish, but not necessarily leaning full babyface. She's sort of like, do you know what? It's the main event. I've got a rookie. This is her first singles match in a year. Yeah, I think I'm going to be all right. Remember Chuck Norris? The man so strong that he birthed an entire category of jokes about his unparalleled strength. We all have a favourite joke, right? Chuck Norris can do a wheelie on a unicycle. Some people are afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris makes onions cry in the evergreen. When Chuck Norris does a push-up, he's pushing the earth down. Have you ever wondered what happened to him? Well, I recently saw a video of the now 84-year-old Chuck Norris, and let me tell you, he still looks like he can beat the sun in a staring contest. He says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition. In fact, he still says he feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has more energy than an Izumi and Starlight Kid high-speed match. Many of us, myself included, do not include the necessary fruits, vegetables, and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. And it's a lingering problem for a lot of us. And actually, I don't mind telling you that my stomach feels like it's been on the receiving end of a Hazuki pump kick on more than one occasion because of it. However, Chuck Norris has made a special video that explains how he has incorporated these things with just one simple product. And you can watch it now by going to mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. It may change your approach to your own health. Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. And now, back to this week's episode.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
But Hazuki is now a member of Queen's Quest. She's under the tutelage of Io Shirai, who the entire mantra of Queen's Quest is, you win. We need a cutting edge. And that's what Hazuki does. She sees that Kairi completely underestimates her. And her entire demeanor from before she went on this break has completely changed, and she's subverting Kyrie's meager expectations by encouraging her onto it. You know what? You can come to me. I'm not coming to you. And she suckers the champion in, and then that begins, you know, you talked about it before, trapping her in an early roll-up, and she goes for the sliding D. And as the match progresses, you can see Kyrie slowly but surely respecting Hazuki more and more and more. And I love that story as we're going through. You know, it's a great match on its own anyway. You know, the strikes are great. The reversals are great. Hazuki, again, her first singles match in a year, absolutely fantastic job. You know, you're going to struggle to miss with Kairi Hojo in the ring, but Hazuki did a fantastic job here. And at 17 minutes and 40 seconds, they told the perfect story in the perfect amount of time. I loved that story, and I love that slight subversion of Kairi being just a white meat babyface into being not necessarily cocky and arrogant, but sort of having a little bit more of that trope going in. And I thought that added a fantastic element to the match. And I gave it 4.25. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this match, Matt.
All right, there you go, my friend. But yeah, I totally see your point where Kairi was kind of like a little sure of herself, like a little more confident in this match, just because she is up against, you know, the super rookie Hazuki. But that quickly turns once Io gets involved. Like, you can kind of see Io gets involved, they kind of get the crowd there, and then that's where she kind of, you know, she starts, you know, revving it up, where it's just like, okay, this might be, you know, even though I have the experience advantage, I know Io, who's the person I have a lot of difficult time defeating, she might get involved, so I've really got to take this, you know, to the next level in order to get the win. So that would just add just another dynamic of the psychology in that match, in this match.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of my favorites of the run. So if you're keeping score, this is certainly one to go and check out. Match 6, then we move to defense number 5 against Nixon Newell. And she defeats Nixon with the insane elbow, in 15 minutes and 43 seconds at the Stardom New Year Star 2017 Night 4 show on the 29th of January 2017. Nixon Newell, of course, is known as Tegan Knox, or was in WWE before she was tragically let go. Still haven't quite forgiven the company for that one, but there we are. In terms of how this championship shot came about, Kaylee Ray and Nixon Newell lost a Goddess of Stardom championship match at the 6th anniversary show to Kairi and Yoko Beato. And then Newell challenged Hojo to a white belt match on the 29th in Shinkiba. And that's how we end up here. And I'm a big fan of Nixon Newell. I think she's got great strikes. I think she's a very, very, very competent wrestler. Very, very solid in ring. Tells a good story. I think she's just incredibly unlucky, when it comes to injuries. But here, I thought her and Kairi put on a very, very, very good match. And for me, this was a far better limb match in terms of Nixon properly going for Kyrie's arm. Those kicks, those savage kicks, that one where Nixon Newell literally kicks herself off her own feet. She hits Kyrie that hard with a kick to the arm. Beautiful. Matt, what did you think?
This match was great. And just to kind of, you know, hit the rewind button for a couple seconds, I did actually, before this match, watch that tag match with Kyrie and Yoko versus Nixon and Kaylee Ray, and it's absolutely fantastic. And if you do have time, I highly recommend you go out of your way to watch that match and this match as well. This was really good. Obviously, a big fan of Nixon Newell, Tegan Knox. And yeah, it is a shame that she just seems to just be getting injured right at the worst times. But, you know, hopefully she can kind of just put that in the back burner and just keep rehab and just keep getting better, because I think she'll be a perfect fit anywhere. You know, maybe she comes back to Stardom. Maybe she, you know, goes to, you know, Ring of Honor, AEW or whatever. But I think she's a shoo-in to be well at any company, because she does everything so well. And right from the get-go, very, very tight lockup. Anytime I see two people with a really tight lockup, you know, no BS, no holes, you know, in the game there, you don't see any daylight, I'm always going to, you know, sit up a little bit extra to, you know, really, you know, tune in for this one. And they start with a really, really good lockup, some really good chain wrestling. Again, not a lot of holes, not a lot of daylight you see in any of these holds at all. And she goes, you know, firing right after Kairi's arm. But like, you know, you alluded to before, a lot of really good strikes back and forth. And I think this is like really the first defense you really see Kyrie, like, fighting, you see a lot of people working on her arm, you know, because that's majority of her offense, the sliding D, the insane elbow, those forearms when she starts making her comeback. And this is really, like, the first match you really see her fighting through the pain. It's like, yeah, I know my arm is hurt. I know my limb is hurt, but I'm going to fight through this because this is my boxer's jab. Or if you see, like, an MMA fighter that's a really good wrestler get hit with something and they're wobbly and they'll use a takedown to kind of try to clear the cobwebs. And that's what Kyrie does with these forearms, which really, it's a perfect story because it's basically something she does the rest of this run and kind of is almost her downfall into the final match that we'll be, you know, talking about here in just a bit. The psychology here was great. I thought these two really gelled really, really well together. Again, Kyrie just fighting through the pain so she can, you know, throw those forearms and you can just feel the crowd, you know, just getting behind her. And then Nixon, just she kind of gets back up on Kyrie. She goes for the shining wizard, as she's the girl that has the shiniest wizard. She misses it. Kyrie eventually ties her up to the top rope. She hits that beautiful double stomp Alabama slam and the insane elbow for the win. I thought this was fantastic. I had this one actually at 4.25 stars. I thought this was great, and I would love to see Nixon come back as maybe the 47th or 48th entrant into this year's 5-star Grand Prix.
We have booked a rather large field for that show. yeah, I thought this was great. I thought, as I've already said, the work that Nixon does on Kyrie's arm, there's one great moment early on where Kyrie goes for the sliding D and literally Nixon Newell just drop kicks the arm, but from a seated position. And it's such a simple thing, but it looked really, really good. And there's a couple of people in this entire run that I feel like Kyrie elevates. And I think Nixon Newell is one of them. And I think Hazuki is one of them. That just from being in this match and the way Kyrie sells and the way Kyrie wrestles and gives them so much, I feel like they are only elevated in this. And it's a shame that Nixon Newell didn't get a little bit more time in Stardom. Obviously, she went off to NXT just after this. But I thought she was over massively with the crowd as well. Like, in terms of gaijins, like, I don't want to sound like I'm just piling on Chelsea Green. This sounds really horrible, but there was very little reaction for Chelsea Green. There was a little bit of reaction for Chelsea, but her entrance was pretty cool. Coming in with the angel and, you know, blowing stardust to people. But in terms of organic reaction for gaijins, I think Nixon Newell was really quite over with the crowd. And I think, therefore, this led to a very, very hot match, which was also really good, which meant the crowd bit on a lot of things. Overall, I gave it 4.25. Like I say, really, really, really good match. I hope that at some point, Tegan Knox, Nixon Newell, whatever she's going to come out, come to whatever company she's going to as, I hope she comes back and does fantastic work like this. We move on then to match 7. Defense number 6 as Kairi Hojo defeats Jungle Kiona with the insane elbow in 17 minutes and 51 seconds at Stardom Champion of Champions on the 23rd of February 2017. And it's so weird looking back on matches like this when you think Hazuki is still a super rookie. Jungle Kiona is only 2 years into her career at this moment. She debuted on the 15th of November 2015. It's so weird looking back at that. I know Konami hasn't been wrestling long. In fact, I know she's only been wrestling in Stardom since December. When it comes to her match, obviously Hanako Moura is still relatively new. It's weird looking back at members of the roster and seeing them like this. In terms of how this match came about, the Stardom show in Shinkiba, the team of Jungle Kiona, Konami, and Hiroyo Matsumoto defeated the team of Kairi, Yoko Bito, and Hiromi Momura, with Kiona getting the pinfall victory. She then told Kairi that she inspired her and she wanted to challenge for the white belt so that she could hold it at the Nagoya show. Obviously, Nagoya is her hometown in March. And you say I'm a really, really big fan of Jungle Kiona, Matt. This match epitomizes why. 2 years into her career, and she puts on an absolute masterclass. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this match.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned just about a minute or so ago that you thought a couple people elevated by wrestling card. I thought everybody really elevated. You know, obviously this match, Konami, I thought everybody that, and again, you know, we talked about it when we did the Io Shirai episode, and even in the Momo retrospective, that when you're the champion and you're the main event or the semi-main event. Your job is to, one, get your opponent over, get the belt over, which in turn gets you over, which gets the promotion over, which in the end sells more tickets, subscriptions, merchandise, you know, whatever. And that's really, you know, what Kari does here. But this is, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Jungle Kiona. I know you are, you're a massive, massive fan. It's easy to see why. I think pretty much everybody is. I mean, this was great. Just knowing just how early Jungle Kiona was into her career, and for her to put out an a match like this, you know, again, you could say Kari elevated her, but when you have a match this good, it takes two to tango. And Jungle was more than up for the challenge. I thought the match, again, you know, Kari using her experience and strikes to get the early advantage, and then it spills out to the outside, and then she viciously runs herself into the post. I was like, what do you think was going to happen there? Like, you know, she just olays herself and just, like, spears herself into the post. It's like, jeepers creepers. It's just like, again, you know, Kari's like 120-pound soaking wet. God bless her. And the way she just throws her body around, her strikes around, you think she could try to knock out King Kong. But Jungle has really good high-impact offense here. A lot of great near falls, especially with that power bomb. I was a big fan of this this little segue as they're getting towards the end. Again, talking about Kari's crowd psychology. She's ramping up. She's firing back up with all of her strikes. She hits a succession of moves, and she hits she hits a spinning back fist and a sliding D. And Jungle Kiona is just about out. So Kari signals to go to the top. You know, this is what the people want to see. They want to see the insane elbow. You know, she hits her with these two beautiful moves back to back. Jungle's just about out for the count. As she goes to go to climb to the outside, Jungle sticks her arm out, and she prevents her from going to the top rope, just to give Jungle enough time to clear the cobwebs. I thought that was great. I thought, like, the look that Kari gave was like, oh, are you kidding me? I'm so close to the finish here. And then Jungle kind of fires back up. I thought right where they had the crowd, I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Eventually, you know, Kari winds up getting the advantage back on her. She winds up hitting that beautiful double stomp onto the tree woe into the insane elbow. I had this at 4 3/4 stars, and was probably my second favorite match of these matches we're going to review. I thought this was absolutely fantastic. And I know you're going to put over Jungle even more than I do. And then I have a question for you, sir. So go ahead.
Oh, God, pressure's on. No, I thought this was fantastic from both women. And the story of Jungle wanting to prove herself really helped cement this match as one of my favorites. And Jungle Kiona is just one of those people, like Mayu Iwatani, that you just cannot help but be invested in, that you cannot help but live and die every move with that wrestler. You know, you see the emotion in everything that she does, and it makes her such a powerful wrestler. And then you add to the fact that she's so gone dang strong. I mean, that deadlift powerbomb that she did, the deadlift spinning powerbomb, good God, it looked amazing. And then you've got the sleeper hold that she locks in to try and weaken Kairi, and then spins around by her head. It's like she is freakishly strong. But the story of attempting, like I say, to get Kairi, not only, you know, yes, she wants the white belt, yes, she wants to hold it in Nagoya, yes, that's the ultimate aim, but she's already said that Kairi inspires her. Kairi is this big influential figure. I just want her to respect me. I just want her to think, Jesus, she's a good wrestler. And I think Kiona does a fantastic, fantastic job of that. And that's so epitomized in that spot that you pointed out, that final spot where Kairi goes to the top rope and Jungle Kiona is just hanging on to Kairi because she knows she's got so little left, but she can't bring herself to just put it to an end. It was such a lovely moment. 4 3/4 of a star from me. I thought, fantastic match. Same with you. Same as you. Probably my second favorite match of the run, which, you know, goes to show the quality of some of the matches in this run. Really, really good. And again, Jungle Kiona at this point have been wrestling for 2 years and put on an absolute clinic. And again, we're doing a Kairi Hojo retrospective. Haven't spoken about Kairi. Kairi was phenomenal in this match as well. What was the question you'd like to? I can't promise I'll know the answer, Matt. I'll be perfectly honest.
No, you're going to know the answer because it's just kind of an opinion question. And I think your answer to be the same as my answer is Jungle Kiona, in your opinion, and again, it's opinion, so there's no wrong answer, is she the best wrestler in the history of Stardom to never win the white belt? And before you answer that question, the reason why I asked that is because, again, we did the Momo review where she had two fantastic matches that she fell short in the white belt. The Arisa match that I've seen a number of times. I'm sure, I think there might be a Mayu match and an Io match in there. I'm not sure. And then there's this match. So it just seems like she is so good and she comes so close. So my question to you is she the best wrestler, in your opinion, that have never won the Wonder of Stardom title belt?
I mean, Fukigen Death has never won.
that's your go-to. That's always your go-to to pick me up.
I mean, I'm gutted she doesn't wrestle for Stardom anymore, because I don't know whether it's just a case of me just loving her that much that I want her to win things, but I feel like she wasn't finished with the white belt. I feel like they were going to do something with that white belt with Jungle Kiona, but you look at who's held that belt. Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, obviously Utami's never held the white belt, so that's another one, but there aren't many people that I can think of that are as consistently solid in ring as Jungle Kiona that haven't won the white belt. You know, she went for it, what, 5 times? Never won it. She had Kairi. She had 2 against Momo. Arisa. There was one more. Yoko Bito.
Amazing.
So, yeah, in answer to your question, yeah, I think she probably is. If she's not, she's top three best people to never win the white belt. And in fact, I'll throw it back at you. Is she the best to never win a singles title in Stardom?
Again, you talk fucking death. I mean, again, you know.
Hey, she's on the high speed belt. She's on the high speed belt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but not as fucking death.
No, that is true.
Lady C, my Sakurai. Yeah, probably top of my head. And this is, you know, I'm kind of just thinking off the top of my head, just thinking out loud here. Obviously, this is something that we'll have to talk about, you know, off air and via text message in the next few months. But maybe one of the Patreon things we do is Jungle Kiona's all of her challenges for all the white belts. Just showing, because obviously, you know, when we do these retrospectives, they're winning, you know, 95% of the, you know, 99% of the matches up until they get to the final match. I think that might be something that I think would be fun to do, because it just goes to show you that even in a losing effort, she gets the belt over and she gets her opponent over. It's like very reminiscent to like Stone Cold Steve Austin, one of the biggest stars in the history of wrestling. You know, he always says, and I don't think anybody can deny, that his best match ever was that WrestleMania 13 match against Bret Hart. And he lost that match. But again, you know, if you do it a certain way, you can win by losing. And even Bret Hart, you know, I mean, kind of on the same subject, you know, one of his best matches is the match that Vince looked at and was like, okay, now I need to take a run on this guy, is when he lost the belt to the British Bulldog in your country there in Wembley Stadium. So it's like, you know, sometimes when you have these matches where you lose, you actually get more over. And I think Jungle Kiona, she gets so close to the white belt, like so close. And, you know, maybe, and we talked about it last week on the free podcast, we're hoping somewhere that they can kind of maybe Stardom and Jungle could put their differences aside, and maybe she comes back to the company. Now, what about this? I'm just thinking out loud here, booking. You know, as we're recording this, we're just a couple days from the five-star final. I'm not the five-star, the Cinderella final. What if Hazuki wins and then she goes on to win the white belt, and then Jungle beats Hazuki for the white belt?
In terms of fantasy booking, that's the dream, isn't it? I cannot see it happening. Like, if in terms of a percentage, I'm giving it an obligatory 2%. But
oh, you're saying there's a chance, like Tim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance.
But in terms of what I would love to say, I'd love to see that. She was such an identifiable babyface that you couldn't help but be invested. You could never turn a heel because people just loved her too much. And yeah, it's just, I don't think Stardom ever fully invested in Jungle. I mean, not for her to not win a singles title in the entire time she was with the company is baffling to me. But I think ultimately they saw her as someone that could do a job in ring, someone that could, you know, when they got given the tap on the shoulder, could go and have outstanding matches. And I hate to draw the parallel, but she's Ishii.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's, I'm gonna play devil's advocate again. You know, we're talking about it. It's a crying shame she didn't win a singles title. But at the same time, if we want to put the white belt on her, who's she going over? Is she going Kairi here? Probably not the time. Is she going Momo? Might have been the time at that second match. I don't know. Is she going over Rissa? Wasn't the time. You know, do you have a run against Io? You know, probably wasn't the time. So it's just like, yeah, you know, we're talking. It's heartbreaking because she's so good in the ring and so over with the crowd that she should have gotten, you know, a white belt run. But at the same time, it's like, but at whose expense? You know?
I think if the Nagoya match against Momo had come one defense later, because don't forget when she went, this is supposed to be a Kairi podcast, but we got completely off track here with Jungle. We don't get to talk about her enough. Obviously, that came as Momo was going for the record of defenses or to tie the record of defenses. If it hadn't been then, if Momo's already beaten the record, and had it been Jungle in Nagoya, that would have been the moment to pull the trigger. That second attempt at Momo's white belt reign. The other times, I think she was just wrong place, wrong time. I mean, she went for the belt again 7 months after this match against Yoko Beato. And I think Yoko beat her in under 10 minutes. So, yeah, I think probably the second Momo match. But there we are. That's a little bit of history on Jungle Kiona. Let's move on then to match 8, which is her 7th successful title defense, defeating Konami with the anchor in 19 minutes and 54 seconds from the Stardom Grows Up Stars 2017 Night 4 show on the 26th of March 2017. Now, a couple of things just to go into before we talk about the actual match itself. How we got to this match was utter carnage. We have talked about this in on the EO retrospective, but so... After Kairi's unsuccessful second attempt at Io's red belt at Stardom the Highest 2016, Toni Storm entered the ring to be the new challenger for the red belt, which brings Mayu out, who also challenges for the red belt and then goes to promise that she's going to win the Cinderella tournament to go after Io again. Then all this happens, Jungle appears and just shouts randomly, no discernible words and no elaboration, just shouts. And then Konami comes out as an afterthought to challenge Kairi for the white belt. It is an utter car crash, but that's how we get to this point.
Yeah, and what's great about this is it's a completely different dynamic because she's going in there, you know, Kairi's such a really good striker. Again, especially, you know, when she's firing back, she's going up against somebody that's a better striker than her and a better submission wrestler, you know, one of the better submission wrestlers in all of Stardom. And the psychology is really smart. Like, Konami comes right at Kairi with basically almost like an MMA-style offense where she's mixing the strikes and the submission. She's just going after Kairi's arm. Kairi's really first big counter is the brutal spinning back fist, and that she follows up with several brutal strikes. Again, you know, we're talking about fighting through the pain. We're talking about how, you know, her go-to is always either one of those spinning back fists or just a bunch of, you know, forearms to kind of create separation where she can kind of, you see her like shaking the pain out of the forearm, and you see it in her face, and the crowd is just getting so behind her because they just want her to fight through the pain to kind of, you know, overcome, you know, being the underdog babyface. But yeah, this is really good. You know, she just does a really good job here, pretty much more than any match, of really fighting through the pain to kind of almost go strike for strike with Konami because these forearms are taking an effect on Konami. She winds up getting a big Alabama slam, and I thought this was brilliant because of the limb work that was done on her arm, not only in the submissions but the striking as well. She can't climb the ropes fast enough as her arm is hurting. And again, she's selling and where she's looking at the crowd and she's trying to get the crowd behind her where it's like the crowd's trying to cheer on to climb the ropes because they know when she climbs the top rope, they're going to see that beautiful insane elbow. But again, she can't get up there fast enough. And Konami cuts her off with a hanging arm bar. They wind up fighting on the top rope for a little bit, which I thought was very entertaining. And then Kairi hits this brutal, brutal headbutt onto Konami. And then she hits the double stomp. She winds up, again, fighting through the pain. We're talking about crowd psychology. She has this absolutely perfect time. She hits the insane elbow to the back, which then sets up the anchor, which is the only match she wins, you know, via tap out. And I thought that the psychology of this was absolutely brilliant because in the finish, what I mean, is absolutely brilliant because Konami, she's the submission sniper. She's a submission expert. And ultimately, it gets turned around on her, and she's the one that winds up tapping. Kari winds up fighting from beneath. She, again, you know, she uses the psychology. It was brilliant. She uses the insane elbow on the back to set up the anchor. I thought this was brilliant. This is I'm a huge fan of Konami, and this is one of the better matches I've seen her in, and we've seen her in a lot of really good matches. I had this one at 4 3/4 stars. I thought this was absolutely brilliant. The psychology was really good. Timing was really good, and this is, you know, early on in Konami's career, this has got to be one of her staples.
Completely agree. And in actuality, I don't think I can add much more to this match than you haven't already pointed out. I think in terms of Konami's back catalogue, it is top three best Konami matches ever. I think it is one of Kairi's best, if not Kairi's best, in this entire run. Her selling is outstanding in this match, on another level to anything else in the run. Konami's work on the arm is excellent. The drama they managed to incorporate in this match is fantastic, and the chemistry they have is fantastic. And you're absolutely right. It's not often, I mean, I haven't spoken about it much at all, Kairi's striking, but Kairi's striking is fantastic. You know, those chops, the spinning back fist, but here she's outstruck, and she has to think of a different way to defeat Konami, and she does that by hitting the insane elbow on the back and hitting and locking in the anchor, just to put over the fact that her arm is hurting too much to do that, to do the insane elbow and go for the pin. I loved that little tidbit right at the end. But overall, 4 3/4 stars, fantastic match. Well done to both women. That, of course, puts Kairi at 7 successful title defenses. She is one off Yuzuki Aikawa in second place. Now, between this match and her homecoming show in Yamaguchi, Kairi actually signed her WWE contract right at the end of March. So she announced it. It was common knowledge that she would be leaving Stardom for the WWE, which, of course, is a huge shame. I'm sure opinions are divided as to how Kairi's time went in the WWE. It certainly started well enough, winning the Mae Young and, of course, becoming a two-time NXT Women's Champion. But
she'll come back eventually, Rob. I just have faith that Kairi will come back to Stardom eventually.
But that being said, we kick straight in to another title defense. Her last successful title defense at 8, defeating the young Hana Kimura with the insane elbow in 20 minutes and 44 seconds. Stardom Grows Up Stars 2017 Night 8, the Kairi Hojo homecoming show on the 22nd of April 2017. Matt, what did you think of this one?
I don't like matches that have way too much interference. Again, it's one thing when like Kagetsu does it, or when I see like Starlight Kid and Momo do it, they do it with a purpose and don't overdo it. They do a good job blinding the referee. This one was just a little bit too much interference. You know, you alluded earlier in the podcast that they're literally on the outside for an absolute eternity. However, I will always be proven wrong if you get a crowd reaction. And the crowd reaction for this was absolutely, pun I guess intended, insane for this one. Hi-ho, I didn't even mean to do it until I said it. But you can see Hana Kimura's potential here in this match. But I think this match, just because it was in Kairi's hometown, was just like, we're just going to keep it really, really simple. We're going to put a lot of heat. There's going to be a lot of interference. There's a lot of run-ins. Just saw running from just about everybody. It was pretty wild. I originally had this at 3.5 stars, but I actually bumped it up to 4 just because how insane. I really didn't mean to do it that time. How insane, how hot the crowd was for this. You know, we talk about Kairi just being such a great baby face. I mean, this is just the perfect old school heel versus baby face dynamic. You know, again, there was, the ref gets pulled so many times and just so many ref bumps that I was kind of just like, but again, for you to get the crowd that hot, especially towards that finishing stretch, you know, hey, who am I to tell anybody, you know, how to wrestle? And Kairi just does a really good job here. As Hana Kimura, again, you can see her potential here. Kairi just does a really good job milking this match and getting everything, you know, for what it's worth until they go to the finish, which again, you know, hot finish, insane elbow. This one, if I never see this match again, I'll be A-okay. But then again, this might be a match where I tell, you know, I get a lot of people asking me, you know, what matches, when they just started on wrestling, what matches should I watch? this would be one that would work over in the U.S. Indies. You know, you have a really hot over babyface that has, you know, some really good strikes and a really cool finisher, and you have this heel that has like four or five people in their camp. I mean, this would be something that I would probably point them to, like, hey, if you want to get the, you know, a crowd over, you know, match over, you kind of watch this because it's really, really simple. But as far as like, you know, work rate goes, wasn't my cup of tea.
No, it's one of the weaker matches in the run. Obviously, Anna is still relatively early in her career at this point. And we are relying a lot on a Weta Thai interference. Like I say, they're there all the time, to the point where they're actually beating people up on the outside whilst Anna is dragging Kairi all around the ring. We saw the elastic band that that Natsupoi and Unagi have been using in the Cinderella tournament. That made an appearance. But yeah, it was a little bit long in the tooth. I don't think this match needed to be as long as it was, over 20 minutes. It's the only match in this entire run that goes over 20 minutes, and it didn't need it at all. I think this match could have gone 15 and would have been absolutely fine. The stuff on the outside really did take an eternity. But there were certainly flashes. I think, obviously, the hometown reaction for Kairi is going to be huge. You know, she's the hometown hero. It's her belt. She's joint second now in amount of defenses with Yuzuki Aikawa, so it's a big incentive. She could have gone out there and stood in the ring and she would have got a cheer, to be fair. But I think beating someone of a Weta Thai and someone who is so obviously and openly heel, it does work. Similar to you, it's not my cup of tea. I gave it 3 stars. I think overall, yeah, I cannot doubt the crowd reaction. The crowd reaction was fantastic, but with the length of the match, it lost me towards the end.
Yeah. I think if we were in the crowd, like just sitting on my couch watching, I'm like, all right, you know, we need to, let's insane elbow this, let's wrap this home. But at the same time, if we were sitting there in that crowd, we would have been all for it, because everybody, you kind of feed off the reaction of the crowd. And I think maybe that's what Kairi was doing before she, you know, pulled the trigger to take this to go home. It's like, just keep milking this for all that it's worth, because these people are fiery. But yeah, if you're sitting at home and if it's a rainy day and you had a beer or two, you might be dozing off a little bit on this one.
Yeah. And one positive just to end on as well with Hannah, you know, she is early in her career, like I mentioned, but even here, I talked earlier about Chelsea and Chelsea, the Chelseas, Chelsea Squared, about how they struggled to find the balance between showmanship and wrestling an interesting match, or wrestling a Japanese-style match, should I say. I think Hana Kimura was able to do that very easily. She had the crowd eating out of the palm of her hand. She, even at that time, was incredibly charismatic. And, you know, as good as Kairi is at having a crowd in the palm of her hand, I think Hana Kimura did a tremendous job as well, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, when you have the crowd and that whipped up of a frenzy, regardless of who's the hometown it is or who, you know, is in the ring, that was the main event. You're sending the crowd home happy. Everybody that was in that crowd, they left. They were happy because of, you know, the result of the head of the match. So again, who am I to say for anyone to work that a match when you have a crowd like that and that much of a frenzy?
Yeah, absolutely. We now move on to the final match of this run. We're talking, of course, about match 10. Mayu Iwatani defeating Kairi Hojo with the modified Dragon Suplex in 19 minutes and 44 seconds at Stardom Gold May 2017, night one on the 14th of May 2017. Of course, Kairi Hojo is looking to tie the most successful title defenses, but falls short against her Freedom teammate. Of course, at this point, it's common knowledge that Kairi is going to be leaving for WWE from Stardom. So very few people did think that she was leaving this show with the belt. But even so, what a fantastic match, Matt.
Yeah, this was my favorite of ever. I mean, again, the Kanan match was really good. The Jungle Kiona match was really good. But this one, I think, just stands out just a little bit better than those two, and of all the 10 matches that we're reviewing. Just based on, they just gel so well together. They know each other so well. I'm not going to go by the match beat by beat. Obviously, go out of your way to see this. I'm sure that if you're listening to this review, that you have seen this match before. But, you know, go back and watch it again. I thought this was really good. their chemistry together, both, you know, across from the ring from each other, or when they team, is really second to none, you know, in Stardom. But of course, we have to mention, you're in Corkin. You got to do the Corkin dive off the entrance way there. I'm trying to think when the last time, obviously COVID restrictions are starting to, you know, go away. But I'm trying to think, when was the last time that somebody actually did a dive off there? Because it seems like anytime there was an EO or a Mayu or a Kari match, that's like, yeah, we got to jump off that thing. It's almost like it might be in their contract where it's like, yeah, Rossi Ogawa, you can run these 9 shows this year, but somebody's got to do a dive off the balcony. And then he'd be like, you know, and then to go back to our last Patreon episode, where it's like, yeah, not only is she going to dive off, we're going to have Mako Satomura dive off the entranceway as well. So you get a 2-for-1 deal. But I thought really, you know, going into especially the last 4 or 5 matches, we talked about Kari, when she comes back, she throws those stiff elbows. And again, if you're going by story-wise, there's nobody here that knows her better than Mayu. And Mayu, even to this day, I was just watching a match that just went on Stardom World where she throws that super kick like in desperation. But Mayu also has that one desperation, you know, hold as well, creates separation as that super kick. Again, to this day, she still uses. So Kari, as she's getting on the, you know, as she's firing up, these two are just crushing it, especially towards the end. You know, again, I'm not going to go beat by beat from it, but she starts, Kari's throwing those elbows, which usually creates separation, usually leads into like the spinning back fist, insane elbow, and she comes running off the ropes because she knows she's going to throw a big forearm. And Mayu uses her desperation move, the super kick. So I'm sitting there, and obviously I know the finish of this match, but I'm watching this, you know, just as such a huge fan of both these ladies. It's like, wow, they both just did their desperation things almost back to back. And they get up almost right around the same time. And I think it's like perfect placement, because when they get up, Kari's back is to Mayu, and it just sets up perfect for the 2-stage dragon suplex. It just almost is like, who's going to get up when? Where are they going to get up? And it just happens to be that Kari gets up at the wrong place, the wrong time, to set up for one of Mayu Iwatani's signature holds, the 2-stage dragon suplex. We get the new champion. So I thought that was really cool. I thought that was really cool about how they kind of did their desperation moves back to back. And when they both got up at the same time, it just happens to be right where Mayu needed Kari to put her away. So I thought that was great. This was my favorite match of the run. 4 3/4 stars I had this one.
Yeah, I'm the same, completely the same. I thought this was an absolutely phenomenal effort from both women. I don't want to disparage any of the other matches in the run at all. I've really, really enjoyed this retrospective. This had the big match feel that some of the matches in this run didn't have. You know, you felt like this was, the crowd was there. The crowd was molten. But these two have tremendous chemistry. You know, they've teamed together before. They know what they're doing together. And they created, for lack of a better phrase, magic in this match. This was easily my match of the run. I gave it 5 stars. You know, I am a little bit biased when it comes to Mayu matches, but I thought her and Kairi, especially towards the end where Kairi realized that match is slipping out of her grasp, the desperation, she's so desperate to put the match away that she makes that first mistake, really the first big mistake of her run, which is to go for the second elbow drop and not just pin Mayu after the first one. Having already beaten Konami in that way, elbow drop to the back, lock in the anchor. She's already beaten someone that way, but she's determined to emphatically beat Mayu, and that ultimately becomes the mistake. That desperation drop kick, desperation super kick, sorry, from Mayu will never stop me from being so, oh, brilliant. I love that move. Overall, can't find a fault with this match. What a way to have your last big singles match in the company. 5 stars, Matt. I absolutely love this match. Love the chemistry. Loved everything to do with it.
Yeah, well said. And again, with all these runs that we're reviewing, it always starts with a banger and ends with a banger. The queen is, you know, pretty solid as well. So I thought this was terrific. You know, an excellent way to end this run. And thank you to everybody that voted for it. Again, we absolutely love doing these retrospectives. It just sometimes they're very long. And we're so darn busy. But, you know, we absolutely love doing them. And thank you to everybody that voted for this one, because this was an absolute joy and pleasure to watch.
Absolutely. And of course, that brings an end to Kairi's run with the white belt, her only run with the white belt. So let's have a look at by the numbers. So Kairi was the eighth Wonder of Stardom champion. In her reign, including the match where she won and lost the belt, there's a 50% split between Japanese wrestlers that she fought and wrestlers from other promotions. And I know we've talked about how Rossi wanted the white belt to be one that was sort of wrestled for around the world. And that was certainly something that was brought into sharp relief here. This would obviously be the last time that Kairi would hold a belt in Stardom, debuting for WWE at the Mae Young Classic on July the 13th against Tessa Blanchard. And obviously, when I say belt, I mean singles belt. It's the third longest reign with the white belt, standing at 364 days behind Yuzuki Aikawa at 618 and Arisa Hoshiki at 370. It's the fourth most successful title defenses, with eight behind only Momo, Io, and she is, of course, joint with Yuzuki Aikawa. In terms of the numbers, there was a cumulative match time of 2 hours, 53 minutes and 32 seconds, an average match time of just over 17 minutes and 35 seconds. Her longest title defense, 20 minutes and 44 seconds against Hana Kimura. Her shortest title defense, 40 minutes and 18 seconds against Chelsea Green, averaging a successful title defense every 45 and a half days. And that brings to an end our Kairi Hojo retrospective. We really do hope you've appreciated it and enjoyed it. We thoroughly enjoy doing all of these retrospectives. Like Matt said, it just takes a long time to get all the matches watching all the notes done, but there we are. As you can see from the May Patreon bonus episode poll, we've closed that poll now. That is all done. You can no longer vote. The two shows that we are going to be doing, or the two episodes we are going to be releasing, the first episode dropping on May the 11th will be the Kagetsu versus Hazuki 8th anniversary in Osaka match review for the red belt. And then on the 25th, yes, on the 25th, just had to check my schedule. On the 25th, we will be reviewing Stardom X Stardom 2019. I've had a request that we put Stardom 9th anniversary on the next episode poll as well, because they couldn't choose. So yes, I will put that back on as well. So don't worry about that. Thank you to everyone that has subscribed to our Patreon. We really, really, really do appreciate it. Thank you. For our red belt patrons, a little bit of something extra will be coming your way. We just need to finalize a couple of things before we tell you what that is. So keep it at our Twitter at the Stardom Cast, and on Facebook, the Stardom Cast, and we'll keep you informed. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening, guys. You can talk to me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. Matt, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and or the Instagram. Just search Matt Turner OF. And ahoy, matey. This was a lot of fun.
It certainly was. And we'll be back right here on patreon.com/ The Stardom Cast to review Kagetsu versus Hazuki. And until then, guys, talk to you guys again soon.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.